Hi there, 欢迎回到酒馆。
酒馆的进阶口语课第17期课程正式开放早鸟价报名。除此之外，近期我们也准备推出高级口语辩论课程 B2 Plus, 专为 B2 以上的口语达人准备。快来酒馆打造更优秀的自己吧。咨询课程请联系小助手，微信号是 LULUXJG, LULU 就是露露， XJG 是小酒馆的汉语拼音首字母。我们在酒馆等你。
Now, on with the show.
Welcome everyone to Geek Time. This is Brad. How are you doing, Lulu?
Hi, Brad. So in this advanced episode about dark web,exciting, exciting.
Oh, yeah.
You promised to tell us a few stories and also like cautionary tales.
Mm-hmm. So we'll start off, we'll talk a little bit about one of the most famous sites on the dark web. It was called Silk Road.
Or the most notorious.
Yeah, the most notorious. You can say that as well. Yeah, most notorious. It was one of the first like, big auction sites for on the dark web. And originally, the guy who started it said he wasn't planning on selling illegal things on the site or allowing illegal things on the site.
Let me stop you there for a bit. When I was preparing for this, I did do a little bit of research on the Silk Road.
Yeah.
And then I found some people were calling it, some Chinese writers were calling it the dark version, the dark and illegal version of Taobao. Is it a sort of idea? It's still like an e-commerce website. It just sells really, really illegal stuff.
Well, it sold lots of illegal stuff, yeah. At first, he said he was going to not allow that type of stuff. But I think when he saw the dollar signs, he was just said, okay, do whatever you want to do.
But why did he start on the dark web if he originally wasn't meant for this to be an illegal site?
Well, he didn't start with the dark web. He had actually tried to have several businesses, and when none of his businesses went well, he decided that, well, I'm just going to try something on the dark web.
To bypass the regulations and stuff.
He did have some education in IT. I don't think that wasn't his primary education, but his education did help him get into it.
I read his story. He started it in his 20s, and within a couple of years, I think he made billions doing this.
Yeah.
And how did they trade? Obviously, they cannot leave any paper trail.
So basically, when someone wanted to buy something, they would buy and sell with Bitcoin.
So we were talking about this cryptocurrency.
And sometimes when people would buy and sell things with Bitcoin, they would maybe have like different layers of accounts. So they would move the currency from one account to another account to another account to try to hide like the trail.
And it just stay virtual. Nothing is stay like digital. Yeah. There's no actual money trace.
Well, you have to buy the Bitcoin from somewhere, right? You have to get the Bitcoin somewhere. So there was like a transfer at some point with some e-wallet or, you know, such. But they would just try to hide that by moving the funds around or buying other things, paying for other goods.
Yeah. And then you said there's some illegal stuff, but I've seen some screenshots of it. I think... Well, by the time it got really big, it was mostly illegal stuff because that's where the profit lied, right?
Yeah, he started it and like almost immediately people were putting illegal things on it. And he said he was going to not allow that. But then he was libertarian, so he said there shouldn't be any limit on things like firearms. And so he started letting firearms. But then it certainly went right from that into drugs and then everything else.
yeah. And then he eventually was caught and sentenced to life in prison.
Yeah. So it was really funny how he was caught. Early when he was first starting getting the information out, he was trying to get people to know about the site. And he puts basically kind of like an advertisement out for people to find the site on the dark web. But he put it on the surface web, or at least, you know, something that people on the surface web could find, but that was tied to his email address, basically.
Come to my dark website, and then eventually he was caught because of that email address.
Yeah, they weren't able to like completely connect it to him. So basically, the FBI watched him, and they found out that he would go to the library and connect to the dark web through the library's connection. That way it would never be at his house. And they just waited for him to have his computer open. And they, as soon as he had his computer open and connected, they made sure to grab him right then and there. That way he had access to everything right away.
So they called him red-handed.
Yep.
Okay, I see. It's a bit ironic to, you know, if you devote your entire career or business to hiding all the traces, it's just ironic you get caught by trying to advertise your website on using your email address.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other things linked with, apart from the hugely illegal, like selling firearms or drugs, but there's also like the, I would say, less serious illegal things, like illegal downloads.
Yeah, like in for the last 20 years, you know, people have been downloading music, movies books. And books and things like this, copyrighted material, that stuff that it is illegal to download it.
Mm.
And so people don't put the files directly on sites. They use peer-to-peer sharing like software. So you can find the file that allows you to connect to that particular file. Basically, it's two files. You download one file that allows you to connect to others who have that file.
Okay. Let's slow down for a bit. I know it's advanced episode, but in case many of our listeners don't really know that much about this, peer-to-peer, or sometimes called P2P, 这个叫点对点或者叫对等式的网络, this is basically the opposite of a centralized, centralized controlled network, right? Yeah.
Before, you could go to a website and directly download the file from that website.
Mm.
Now the website doesn't have the file. The people have the file, and then they just tell you how to connect me to you so you can give me the file.
I see. I see. So that's the peer-to-peer. In this way, I guess, the websites, they don't store illegal files for illegal downloads, so it's more difficult for authorities to track them down and then to punish them.
Well, it's still just the same. They usually go to countries that have lax laws on this type of thing.
Oh.
And then governments will still pressure, foreign governments will still pressure them to push and say, cut this server down, don't allow them to transmit the files.
Mm.
And that's just moved people onto the dark web. And so there are some sites that might have like files for a movie or for a book. And if someone contacts the site and this is my book, you can't give it out for free.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take the book down, but they'll include a link to the dark web.
So you can still access it through Tor.
Yeah.
through an onion router.
Yeah.
I see. I mean, it's difficult for content providers because it's very difficult to protect your copyright.
Definitely.
Yeah. There's one way to protect your copyright and there's 10 ways to violate that. But previously, in the basic episode, I started the whole discussion by asking you if dark web, the dark, means it's evil. So what do you think? Do you think the dark web is intrinsically evil or filled with ill intentions?
Not at all. Like, it was started by the U.S. Navy. There's a few other, like the Department of Defense. They wanted to have this, like, internet, and they wanted to have it as a way to transmit data more securely.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're the only ones that are sending data over the dark web, then it makes it easier for other people to find this data and try to decrypt it because they know exactly where this data is coming from. It's coming from government agencies, right? And so rather than just only have themselves using it, they allow everyone else to gain access to it through tools like Tor. And by allowing them to gain access to it, there's a lot more data being transferred over the network.
Okay, I get it.
And this way it's hidden, and their data is harder to find.
It's hidden in plain sight.
Yep.
So instead of trying to go to a remote place to hide your treasure, you just you just try to encourage everyone around you to dig for the treasure together. And then in that way, and people don't know who is who. They don't really know where the most important data lies. Okay, sounds interesting. I have to say, sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
And so government, surely sounds like government makes use of the dark web.
Yeah, government uses it because they want to transmit data securely.
Mm.
News websites have started to use this as a way to get information from whistleblowers.
Ah.
Because if someone wanted to connect to a news site, maybe send them an email or send them a file, their IP address is going to be connected to that file or to that email, which the government can gain access to. or, you know, and so they can find out who sent that file, which can put whistleblowers in
danger.
So the Tor allows people to, or a dark web allows people to send files to news organizations at their, like, their drop sites. And this way that no one can find out who sent the file.
I see. So, for example, if I witnessed a crime, but my life is being threatened, if I actually whistleblow on that crime, then I can just use dark web. I can use Tor to cover my tracks.
Yeah.
And then they will still, the authorities or people who should get the information can still get the information, and I don't have to reveal my identity.
Right.
I see. But having said all of that, the last bit of our dark web talk is, although we discussed all this, but dark web is not something you really should try.
Yeah, definitely. So when you go to the dark web, there are sites that you might use, you know, like I mentioned, the whistleblower sites. You don't want to just go to random sites on the dark web. People have gone, got the Tor router, the Onion router, and gained access to the dark web, and then started using that to go around and kind of like just see what they could find on the dark web.
Out of curiosity.
Yeah. And but when that happens is there are websites on there that are set up by hackers. There are websites on there that are set up by people with nefarious intentions. And so if you connect to their site, they could basically put a file onto your computer, which allows them to track you.
Yeah, they can threaten your data security. They can even just blackmail you.
Yeah.
Right? It happened before.
Yeah.
You get blackmailed just by searching on the dark web.
Well, not only that, you in some countries, using the Onion router is illegal.
Yeah, it's just outright illegal.
Outright illegal. But in countries where the Onion router is legal and something you can use, going to some websites on the dark web is completely illegal because those websites are
illegal.
You know, something connected to a crime. And so if you go to those websites, you can also get in trouble. But you can also get, like, you might get a stalker. You might get someone who takes pictures of you and then later sends you those pictures to let you know that they're following you now.
That is creepy.
Like, I've heard stuff like this, but some of that stuff might just be people trying to scare others. But I wouldn't doubt some of those stories.
But honestly, internet has already provided us with so much information. Even just on the surface web, there's so much information you can use. So, I mean, just don't risk it. Really.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're going back to that imagery of, like, the deep sea. Would you really want to, without any life-saving equipment or like a submarine, would you actually want to just take a nosedive into the deep, dark sea? You don't.
Even with like some of the life-saving equipment, I still wouldn't go under there.
Exactly. I'll just remain on the surface of the sea.
That's right.
I think I'm good with
even
that.
Even then, I don't like the surface.
All right. Thank you, Brad, for coming to the show and for giving me new nightmares. And for those of you, if you know anything, well, don't tell us.
Yeah.
But if you have any comments about the internet in general, about dark web, leave us a comment in the comment section, but be careful what you leave there. See you in the next Geek Time.
See you next time.
See ya.
今天的节目你喜欢吗？赶快联系小助手加入酒馆社群吧。小助手的微信号是 LULUXJG。我们在酒馆等你。